Welcome to the podcast Method Approach, Socratic interviews with supporting actors in a leading role. Whereas the Oscars category is known as Academy Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role. How many films have you watched where the supporting character actor's performance was so memorable that you wanted to know more about the actor? Each podcast episode is a Socratic discourse with actors who share the how and why about their life and film theatre performance.
I'm going to begin with a quote that is so appropriate for our talented actors. The world you desire can be won. It exists, it is real, it is possible, it is yours. Welcome to Method Approach Podcast, which is defined as a podcast interviewing emerging notable method character actors with stellar and cutting-edge performances that have positioned them an eyelash away from stardom. Each podcast episode is a cutting-edge Socratic discourse with actors where we delve into the when, where, why, and how their life experiences have shaped their career journey. These newcomers are gifted, talented actors, worthy of distinction, and are now emerging on the radar of casting agents and audiences everywhere. I'm John Reardon, host of Method Approach Podcast, and today we have as our first guest
Rory Nogi.
And thank you for joining us, Rory.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So my first question is, what can you tell us about yourself? What's your story?
What's my story? All right. Well, I'm actually a born and bred New Yorker, and okay. I have a fierce need to always be creating. So I sing, dance, act for stage and TV, and I'm also a composer, lyricist, and playwright, so many hats. My first professional gig was actually on Broadway as a child in the children's choir of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So since then, I've never wanted to do anything else, really. And fun fact, this past year, without having theater to do live, I learned how to cook for the first time in my life and created a live streaming cooking show called Panties in the Pantry, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Okay. And where can that show be found?
That is on Facebook Live.
Okay. Okay. And we'll add that to our website.
So
what is your whole reason for getting into acting?
I believe it was when I was 7 years old and I saw the PBS filmed production of Into the Woods with Joanna Gleason and Bernadette Peters. And I would get up and I would perform all of the characters. Like, I was a seven-year-old who had memorized Sondheim. So if that wasn't a sign that that's where I was headed, then I don't know what is. So my mother then enrolled me in dance classes and this musical theater class where we had a recital and my first ever solo singing on stage, because I wanted to be just like the characters in Into the Woods, was singing A Whole New World to a live audience. And it was a done deal from there.
Wow. Okay. So what are three things that are most important to you in choosing a new role or a new performing opportunity? What do you look for?
Someone once gave me really great advice, and I was trying to decide if I should take a job or not. And he said, there are three factors to consider when accepting a new role. One is that it's a dream role and really artistically fulfilling. Two is that maybe it'll give you really great connections, look great on your resume. And three is that it pays a lot of money. Three is not usually one of the factors, but he said you need to fulfill two out of three of those in order to accept a job. So I've tried to live by that, but also I want to make sure that the company treats its actors well. And of course, today follows all of the necessary safety protocols too.
Okay, excellent. And that's good advice for our audience too. So tell me about an accomplishment or a role that shaped your career, you know, that you look back upon when you're want to draw on that positive energy that you can bring back? What is one role that you can say, you know what, I do have it. I can do it. I've done it.
It would definitely be performing Maureen in Rent. That was my dream role in my dream show, and I actually have a great story about how that came to be and what that meant to me. But that was the moment where I was just exactly where I had always wanted to be.
Well, please share that story. We have time.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my performance. Oh, okay, I have a life story, and then I'll sing.
Okay, great. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, so what do you hope to accomplish this year? What do you hope to accomplish? We had part of our year cut off with COVID 19, and the theaters were closed. But what are the goals that you've set for the remaining of the year?
Yeah, I've had a whole year off of everything, so I've had a lot of time to think about this question. Right before the pandemic, I was 6 days away from starting a new off-Broadway musical that I had workshopped for 10 years. I was very excited about it, and then everything shut down. It didn't happen. So I'm very much looking forward to actually opening that show and getting to go to rehearsals and do a new piece. Personally, I've been working on an EP. I'm putting out 6 original songs with my recording studio producer friend, and I'm halfway done. So I want to finish that this year and actually make a music video for one of the songs. Ambitious, I know. And I want to rewrite my own musical that I wrote, which I'll tell you about in a little bit, and hopefully learn to play the guitar better. Kind of sits there collecting dust right now. And I hope to get more film and TV auditions, because I've spent this past year taking lots of on-camera classes to try to pivot from theater to film a little bit more.
Okay, good. And please, stay in contact with us and share the endeavors that you've just listed, so we can also post them on our website. Okay, so this next part of our show is where we give our actors the opportunity to showcase their talent, whether they're performing a monologue, whether they're doing a stand-up, and whether they're singing. And our actors sometimes do all of the above or a combination thereof. So please begin whenever you're ready, Rory.
Okay, so I have a bit of a life story talking about the highlights of my career and how that came to be. And then I'm going to sing an original song for you.
Excellent.
So here we go. Okay. Yes. So I was bullied a lot in middle school. After making my Broadway debut at the age of 10 and not exactly understanding humility, other kids would kick me, put gum in my hair, and mocked me for singing too loud in chorus and showing off. So I gravitated towards the drama club Misfits, as it was the only place that I fit in. Till I discovered Rent in 8th grade. I wore the album out before my parents finally took me to see it, with most of the original cast still intact. And I remember these little waifish white girls belting their faces off, being exactly who they were, taking no prisoners, celebrating life, and wearing leather pants. So I was every character up there. And suddenly my place in the world made perfect sense. I knew what kind of theater I wanted to do, what kind of music I wanted to sing, and what kind of people I wanted to be around. So that began my journey as a Rent head. It was a safe space where I could go and experience total catharsis. Rent grew up with me. It wasn't just a show. It was a whole community. So my first year of college, I was at my dream school, NYU, because Felicity went there. And I used all of my high school scholarship money to see Rent over and over. And by now I'd hang at the stage doors and the cast knew me by my first name. The following year, I reluctantly transferred out of the city to SUNY Cortland, a more affordable and more musical theater focused state school. And now I was mocked before anyone even met me, because they heard about the incoming Tish Bitch. And I would wear my leather pants to math class on Monday mornings and wanted to sing rock music, but my assigned voice teacher was strictly classical. So I spent my spare time rebelling and writing music on the piano in the practice rooms, feeling ostracized and defeated once again in this small upstate town. I hopped a Greyhound to New York City whenever I could to see Rent and rock out with the cast when they had their cutting room concerts. It was a really small, intimate space where you could drink and party with the most talented, gorgeous people in New York City. And one night I was waiting for the doors to open for the concert, and they were having a mic check. And I heard this high soaring belt coming from inside. And I thought, that's how I want to sing. And then I saw who the voice was coming out of. She was the new swing and looked just like me. Pale, long, dark hair, petite. We were even wearing the same newsboy cap that night. So she took center stage and wailed on a song she had written. I later found out she was also working on her own musical. She was everything I wanted to be. I was so nervous and intimidated. I had a really hard time feeling like anything more than a drooling fangirl, even while in her dressing room and hanging out at her house. We got pretty close. I wrote a lot of music during those next 7 years of our complicated friendship, all kind of tortured love ballads, trying to sort out feelings I didn't quite understand. And I recorded some of my music for her, hoping she could hear me sing words I was too afraid to say. And then things went downhill very quickly. She went on tour and apparently played my songs backstage for the cast. And I became a running joke with my inane Disney nasal voiced music, quote unquote. Now, up until that point, I was pretty sheltered and had experienced my share of disappointments and romantic heartbreaks. But this, being mocked and tossed aside and cut off by someone my world revolved around without defense, without closure, was something that I still haven't recovered from to this day. But in the words of Carrie Fisher, take your broken heart and turn it into art. Now, as an actor and a writer, I had an arsenal to draw from. A year after Rent closed on Broadway, I scored an audition for a regional production of Rent. I was decked out in my vinyl pants and my dreadlock hair fall and received an immediate callback. And there was a lobby full of other leather-clad girls there. And I heard some of the Maureen hopefuls before me doing lots of fancy vocal athletics. And I was nervous to compete because this white girl don't riff. And besides, I was just a Disney nasal-voiced psychopath. But I told myself, just do what you do. You are Rent. You've lived this. So I walked in. I was paired with the Joanne. We sang Take Me or Leave Me full out, circling each other like vultures. And it was an electric out-of-body experience. And the casting director said, stop. Okay, you're Maureen. I'll send you the contract tonight. And all I could mutter was that there's a whole bunch of people still waiting to audition. He said, and I quote, I'm sending them home. I walked out of the room, burst into tears. This was the epitome of a dream come true. I got to live in Charleston, South Carolina, in a beach house with the cast, real world style, and perform Maureen with a live band to a full house of people who then wanted to meet me at the stage door. It was truly a full circle moment, but it didn't end there. Over the next 8 years, with a newfound confidence and a story to tell, I developed a rock musical called Siren's Den. The show was my love story to Rent, to The Cutting Room, and to the woman who was both my muse and my destruction. Some of the songs I gave to her on that early demo actually made their way into the musical, now with fully realized orchestrations. It was a show about the relationship between a starry-eyed fan named Remy and a rock star named Skylar Cole, about the perils of the music industry, the dangers of putting someone on a pedestal, and about how music is created deep from within a person's soul. Started with a table read of friends, 15-minute selection in a festival, and then a full staged reading actually attended by some of the Broadway Rent cast members who now supported me, then another festival, and finally, an investor caught wind of it and offered to produce it off-Broadway. I got to pick a team, audition the best talent in New York City, co-produce and star in a story based off the best and worst time in my life. And the night of our final dress rehearsal, the real Skylar Cole was back in town performing at the Cutting Room, just blocks away from where my show was recreating one of her concerts. It was very meta. Tickets were sold on TDF to complete strangers who left in tears and bought my demo album at the merch table. And over the past year during lockdown, some of the songs from the show were performed virtually by other companies. So I put my baby out into the world and it exists without me now, which is amazing. In a way, I made my own closure. It's the thing I am most proud of to date, not just my music and my bravery for putting something so raw and vulnerable on stage, but the fact that I created a whole community of people that were involved with the show and affected so deeply by it. I saw it through to fruition just like she did, just like Jonathan Larson did, and the journey has still just begun. So now I'd like to sing a song from the show. I set up my speaker here. This is Remy's I Want song. Early on, she has just moved to New York and gotten a job at the Siren's Den, which is like the cutting room, because she is so excited about meeting her rock idol, Skylar Cole. So here we go. We've come full circle. And okay, so this is called If She Sees Me.
Okay. Is amazing.
Thank you.
What a fantastic voice. And we're going to have to bring you back again. And I'm sure that all of our talent out there, the casting directors, the, you know, agents, and they will definitely enjoy this episode. So what's a good way for our audience to get in contact with you? We know they can reach you on Backstage, but did you want to direct them to any of your social media sites?
So my regular Instagram is Roreen, like Maureen, but R-O-A-R-E-E-N.
Okay.
There's also an Instagram for Siren's Den Musical. And you can also check out sirensdenthemusical.com.
Excellent. Excellent. So we will include that information on our site. We want to bring you back again to get an update on your musical and all of the other wonderful endeavors that you have set out for the rest of this year. And what a fantastic voice. Thank you for sharing your talents with us. And much success this year. And don't be a stranger to our show.
Okay, let's hope I achieve my goals now. You're going to hold me accountable.
We will, and much success to you. I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Be well, and much success.
Yes, take care.
Okay, thank you again.
Beginning in December, the Method Approach podcast will present its first annual Method Approach Award for supporting actors in a leading role for film, television, and theatre. Stay tuned for more details. Stay tuned for the Method Approach movie and theatre reviews. All Method Approach podcast materials and interviews are copyrighted, proprietary, and may not be reproduced, distributed, captured, printed, or transmitted in any form without the written consent authorization of Method Approach Podcast Company. The Method Approach podcast is only the beginning. Method Approach is to enlighten. Method Approach podcast is an elegant, informative, thought-provoking podcast. Method Approach podcast brings you noteworthy people, people you need to know, people you would like to meet. Method Approach podcast allows you to know the subject firsthand. Method Approach podcast uses the Socratic method for conducting interviews. Method Approach podcast interviews are described as intense, illuminating, cerebral, provocative, sometimes humorous, and sometimes out of the box. Method Approach podcast will enlighten your curiosity, stimulate your emotions, and invigorate your passions.